Wasn't it amazing when I asked the children if I could grant them one wish, what they asked for? Pizza. They asked for going to the beach and they asked for love. We do the same thing. We ask for those little things that we need in our lives. I just thought that was really amazing when I asked the kids that. I didn't know what I was going to get when I asked them. You know, we've all heard that story of King Midas, and in popular culture we know that there's movies made about wishes, about granting wishes. I think one of the most popular movies when my children were growing up to watch, which I would watch with them, was that Disney movie Aladdin, right? Where Aladdin found the lamp and he rubbed it and genie came out, popped out of the lamp, and he gave him three wishes. Now, I imagine all of us, because of stories like that, stories of King Midas, we thought to ourselves, you know, what will we wish for if we were given that opportunity? Now, as a teenager, I thought about these things. You know, as a teenager, probably my first wish that I always had was that I would be a famous NFL quarterback. Didn't work out too well, did it? That wish didn't come true. You know, and as always, we always would wish for money or for wealth. And I always thought that if I had three wishes, the third wish would be what? More wishes, right? Well, always, because you know what? It's never and will never be enough when it comes to things of this world, would it? It's never enough. Never enough. Now, when we look in 1 Kings today, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, God grants Solomon a request, a wish. In Solomon's request, we see three distinct things. We see Solomon's heart, we see Solomon's focus, and we see Solomon's reward. And this will help us, hopefully, to understand today. It's not what, but why. So turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And it says there, Solomon's prayer for wisdom. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, as we have opened up your wonderful word, just allow our hearts to be open to receive from your Spirit what you're about to give us this day. Guard my words, prepare my heart, Lord. Guide my spirit, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these first four verses here, we really see Solomon's heart. We see Solomon's heart. In verse 3, it says that Solomon loved the Lord. Thinking to yourself, well, he loved the Lord. You know, that's probably all throughout the Bible where people have loved the Lord. But in the entire Bible, it's never said in this way, that Solomon loved the Lord. And this love can be compared to a familial love. Family members, like, you know, a husband and wife, or a mother and a son, or a father and a daughter. It's that deep, close, and abiding relationship that you have with him. And that's what Solomon had. He had this deep and abiding and close relationship to God. He loved the Lord. He loved him. He loved him. And because of that deep, abiding love, he built God's house, right? Well, he built his own house first, but then he built God's house. We know that David was forbidden from building God's house because of all the blood that was on his hands, and he rose Solomon up to build his house. We also know that it says here in 1 Kings chapter 3 that he walked in the statutes of God. He followed the Ten Commandments. And we also know that he went on to offer sacrifices. In fact, it says there in verse 4 that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. 1,000 burnt offerings. Can you imagine the expense of that many animals and items and the carnage that ensued to be able to have 1,000 burnt offerings? Pretty amazing. Solomon loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. He built his house. He followed his commandments, and he had all these burnt offerings upon the altar. But wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. It says here that he made offerings on high places, and wasn't that forbidden? Because when we think of high places, especially when we think of history, is always in association with paganism, or pagan gods, other gods. And in some way, when you read this, you kind of look at it and say, well, you know, it wasn't maybe such a good thing. But I think ultimately, though, which Dr. Ralph Davis would agree as well in his commentary on 1 Kings, overall, Solomon did love the Lord. Even as he was doing this improper worship by offering these sacrifices at high places, he still loved the Lord. He got a little bit confused, though, on the way to worship God. Don't we as Christians do the same thing? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own preferences, their own music that we like, the color of the carpet, which we don't have carpet in here, but you know, we've seen church split over these minute things, over how we worship God. We get so focused on ourselves that we don't focus on God. We should worship God based on not what we like, but how God wants to be worshipped. And we might try and question some of Solomon's actions here. We might tear him apart and look at it. But I think overall, I believe that Solomon's heart was toward God. And why do I believe that? For what happens next in his word. In Solomon's heart, we then see Solomon's focus. God asked him at Gibeon, "What shall I give you? What shall I give you?" Now, why would God give him whatever he asked? Why would God give him this request? Was it because he loved God? Was it because he built this house? Was it because he followed his commandments and his statutes? Was it because of the 1,000 sacrifices he offered up to God? Was it because of those things? Why did God grant him this? He just did. Solomon didn't do anything. He just granted it to him. There's no action that Solomon could ever do to be given this request. He just did. There was no condition set by God. He didn't need to pray harder to get that request. He didn't need to make more sacrifices. You know, many preachers in America today will tell you that we get the requests by God if we pray harder, we ask harder, we ask for things. And the harder we pray, the more we ask for it, the more faith we have, it's going to be granted to us. It's not just a gift from God. They use verses like Matthew 17:20, which says, "For truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Is that the case? It's not what we want, but what we need. What we need. God knew what Solomon needed. And guess what? Newsflash, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He knows all, and he knew what Solomon needed. God also knew that Solomon knew the why. Solomon's focus was on God fully. He was on his chosen people. He understood that he was filling some pretty big shoes here. He understood the gravity of the position that he had just taken upon, that mantle of being king of God's chosen people. You know, David was that mighty king, and that was some pretty big shoes to fill. I mean, he just had to establish his kingdom in chapter 1 and chapter 2, where his brother Adonijah wanted to take the throne. He conspired with the priest Abiathar to try to be king over Israel. And how difficult it was to make those hard choices. You know, Solomon goes on to say that he's a little child. He has no experience. He doesn't know how to come in or go out. He wasn't a little child. He was probably in his late 20s or early 30s, but he was inexperienced. And he knew that he needed from God the thing that would help him to lead God's chosen people at all times. Solomon's focus was being God's representative for his people and needed to have godly wisdom in order to be a godly king. And that's why in verse 9 he says, "Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who? Who is able to govern this, your great people?" He needed wisdom. He needed that discerning mind, and that's why he asked that from God. You know, one of my favorite authors, especially Christian authors, theologians, are J.I. Packer. And he understood this about wisdom as well. He wrote, "Not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in all of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can divine wisdom become ours." We need wisdom. Solomon definitely needed wisdom. And God granted Solomon's request. Why? It was not what he asked for, but why he asked for it. Solomon was God's king, and Solomon wanted God to be glorified. He wanted God to be glorified at all times as he was king over Israel. Now, what is our focus? What is our focus in life? I have a confession to make before all of you here, and I know it's going to shock a lot of you. I am a nerd. You surprised? You're probably not surprised. You're probably not that shocked. I am a nerd. And why am I a nerd? Because I like techie things. I like tech. I like my iPhone. I like my desktop computer I built. I like things that go, anything centered around tech. I like to watch YouTube videos about tech. And I always like to find out the next new gadget there that's being produced in Silicon Valley, right? I love tech, and that makes me, I guess it makes me a nerd, you know? And so recently, in my office, I didn't like the way it was set up. You know, it wasn't a good place. My desk was small. I couldn't study real good as far as preparing sermons and get my commentaries out and get my notes out and my Bible and my iPad and everything. So I decided I was going to redo my office. So, and Sally will tell you, I took everything out of my office. Lock, stock, and bagel, and stuck it in her office. And I took everything out of the office. And I did that, and I began to prepare the space. And my focus was on making sure that I had a good space to study. So I bought a desk a little bit bigger so I could spread everything out, and then I began to research online about what I needed to, you know, get the space. So I got and started looking at these YouTube videos about how to create an office. So I, you know, got everything set up, and I ordered the desk, and I got the wiring and everything all, and hide the wires and all that stuff. And then I continued to look and research a little bit more. And then I saw someone online that had these nice LED lights behind their desk. So I ordered on Amazon, my best friend, and put all those lights in the back of my desk, LED lights on the back of my desk, and it shined blues and reds and oranges and greens or whatever. It was cool. So that was neat. So then I saw another video where they had their dual monitors, and then they had this big screen TV above their dual monitors so they could watch videos or whatever they needed. And I said, that's cool. So I drove down to Best Buy after work, and guess what I bought? A 50-inch thin big screen TV to put up on my wall above my desk. I got it home, and I set it in the hallway in its box, went in my office, and I realized, guess what? I lost focus, didn't I? Why did I want my office to be better? Why did I want to change my office? Because it was not a good place to study God's Word, prepare sermons for God's people. And so guess what? TV went back. It went back. The lights didn't go back because I had already cut them and stuff, so it's cool looking. All the good study space, cool looking place. So, yeah, I lost my focus. And in most cases, we can lose our focus as well in our lives. And sometimes we lose our focus when we're praying and asking things from God. That happens a lot. But in most cases, you know, our focus is on good things. You know, I've been praying a lot, and you know why. And many of you have been praying for my beloved Sally because of what she's gone through in her cancer treatments. And I appreciate this so much, all the prayers that you've lifted up on our behalf, as well as all the food you brought over. Helped my stomach, that was good. And all those other things, I appreciate that so much. And it's good. It's good that I pray for Sally. It's good we pray for Sally that she's healed. But why did I pray for Sally that she be healed? Was it because it was best for her, or is it because I was doing it out of selfish reasons? I didn't want to lose her because I would be lonely. Maybe I was praying for her because it was more about me than it was about her. So I started to think, why am I praying for her? The reason why I'm praying for her is because God has given to her to me as a helpmate, to help me. She makes me a better man, she makes me a better husband, and she makes me a better pastor and a better preacher. And that's why I should be praying for her. You know, many of us pray for our children, we pray for a better job, we pray for a better job so we can make more money in that. But why are we doing that? You know, as I was sharing this with my friend this week, Lenny, you've heard about him before. He's in Hawaii as a chaplain. He's getting ready to become a lieutenant colonel, or getting looked at for lieutenant colonel. And I presented this to him. You know, why do we pray for what we pray for? And a couple days later, he came to me and said, you know, I'm up for lieutenant colonel. Why do I want to become a lieutenant colonel? Is it to have a better retirement income? Or is it because I'm supposed to be serving God? You know, Andrew, we've been praying for a long time for Andrew Brunson, and recently he went from regular imprisonment to house arrest, and we know that, and that's a wonderful thing. But are we praying for his release to ease his pain only, that he gets out and doesn't continue to spread the gospel message in Turkey? Or maybe we're praying for him to get out, but he's more of a witness in prison than out. Why do we pray for what we pray? When we answer the why, we then know the what. When we answer the why, we then know the what to ask from God. And the why should always focus on God, no matter what, and not on us. When we focus on the why, then we know the what. And Solomon in 1 Kings shows us what happens when we focus on the why to glorify God, what happens. What did God give Solomon? He gave him exactly what he asked for. He gave him wisdom in order to lead God's chosen people. He gave him that. But beyond that, he also gave him what he did not ask for, what we would all probably ask for, money and honor. And if he would keep God's commandments, he would give him long life. And we know that those things that he blessed him above and beyond the wisdom that he gave, it was given to him to lead God's chosen people, we know that eventually became his downfall. You know, it's even pretty much, it starts there in chapter 3 where it says Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We know that from those alliances and from those marriages that he allowed worship to be done to other gods. And we know that that became his downfall. And he also fell into the same old sins like his father David. He took God's rewards and let them become the focus. You know, how many of us do the same thing? But Solomon overall in these verses shows us when we focus on the why instead of the what, then God will reward us. Why? Not so that we can have a nice house and a nice car or educated children or whatever it might be. It's to glorify him and to further his kingdom. Those rewards are always, and they're always beyond our wildest imaginations. We know that when we ask in the right way. But we should never take those things for granted, should we? Solomon did eventually. And we do the same thing as well a lot of times. I know I've talked about jumping off airplanes before here, and I know that I'd always pray before I would get on the aircraft and in the aircraft, and sometimes as I was exiting the aircraft, that my chute would open and that. And I would float to the ground, and I'd hit the ground, and I'd always, you know, the first thing I should do is do what? Thank God. A lot of times I would not. That's a lot of times we do that. We take our focus off of God. But when Solomon fully understood and had that wisdom, what did he do? He did offer sacrifices, didn't he? But where did he go? He didn't go to the high places anymore, did he? It says there in verse 15 that he came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. He finally understood that he was supposed to worship God in front of the Ark of the Covenant in the proper way. You know, I thought about this message a lot during the week, and I thought a lot about Solomon and the request he had. You know, and as I thought more about it, verses like Matthew 17, 20, as I read it earlier, made more sense to me, made a lot more sense to me. Because it says there, if you pray and you have faith, that mountain will move from here to there, that it will happen if you have faith. Nothing's impossible. But we have to look at the why you want that mountain to move from here to there. If on the other side of that mountain is a people group that has never heard the good news and gospel message of Jesus Christ, then pray that that mountain would move from here to there. And it will be moved because of the why. Not because we want that to happen. It's because of the why. God grants our requests. When we know the why is to glorify him. You know, just like Solomon, we're going to continue to sin. We know that we're going to sin. And sometimes we're going to use those blessings like Solomon did for selfish reasons. But for us, there's really good news. You know why? Because we live on the other side of the cross. Solomon did not. We live on the other side of the cross. And who do we have as our constant companion each and every day? The Holy Spirit. And even when we pray for things that we really don't need, or even we pray for things that are probably more for ourselves in selfish ways instead of what God needs and to glorify him, we have the Spirit of God who intercedes on our behalf. You know, Paul reminds us this in Romans 8, 26 through 27. It says there, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. God's will. And he intercedes for us. And this is amazing to know that we have. When we place our faith in Christ, we've gone before that throne of grace. He gives the Spirit and helps us. God gave us the Holy Spirit, and it guides us and helps us to show the way. Through these verses, we see Solomon's heart. We saw that his heart was focused on God. And when Solomon focused on the why, God gave him an understanding mind. God gave him wisdom to guide God's chosen people. And God rewarded him. As we get ready to leave here today, and as you go to your homes, and as you get ready to kneel or to sit or to sit silently before God and start to offer your prayers, requests up to Him, think about what you've asked before in the past. Think what you're asking right there in the presence of Him. And ask why. Why do you want to pray for those things? Why do you pray for those things? And maybe maybe you'll realize, just as I did this last week, that every prayer request should be focused on the why and how we can glorify God. I know I asked about the children today, about the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and question one. What is question one? What is the chief end of man? And what is it? Yes, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It is not what, but why. Let us pray. Father, we have opened Your Word, Lord. We see within its pages the wisdom that was given to Solomon. We see that as we send our requests up to You, Lord, we need to look at why we ask those things of You. And ultimately, we want to glorify You. We know that deep in our hearts we do. And we ask that everything we do ask for has that lens in it. We ask that Your Spirit would guide us, even intercede on our behalf at all times. And we ask so in Jesus' name. Amen.